Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and it feels oh so good on this Sunday morning. It usually feels great when we win, but this might be the greatest feeling that I've felt in a long, long time. Maybe since 2013 when we won a bowl game? Maybe.
Something. I mean, that felt good too, but man, this was so satisfying. I mean, it's like eating pancakes on a Sunday morning.
yeah, I'm going to have some mimosas later. I bought some stuff for some mimosas. And I was wondering about it. I was like, am I going to have sad mimosas tomorrow on Sunday? I mean, you know, it's a good way. It kind of cheers you up a little bit. Like, mimosas are fun. But no, it will be celebratory mimosas. I'm going to monologue a little bit just because I was thinking about this as I was going to sleep. I was going up the stairs, big old grin on my face. This might be the greatest North Texas win I've seen ever.
And in person?
I guess. I mean, I was thinking about it. I was going upstairs. I'm like, that was the greatest ending I've seen. And, you know, I've said this before. For long-suffering North Texas fans, and there's a little group of people that I've seen on Twitter for a long time that went through the Dodge years and the terrible McCartney years. You know, McCartney had one good year, and then there were some terrible ones. I know those people, and I know we were just suffering through, like, 41-point losses to Middle Tennessee, and, you know, games where nobody was watching and nobody gave a damn, except, like, me and the other person. And that kind of win last night, that I know that feels extra good for those kinds of people. You know, but I was thinking, is this better than, like, Josh White's, you know, game, SBC championship winning bucket? And I think maybe just a little bit. I don't know, man. I was thinking about that last night. Like, that was as close to a game winning buzzer beater from half court as it can be. And I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. And y'all still think about it. But you let me know. You can tweet at us. Mean Green Nation. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I can't relate on that one.
Yeah.
But I feel like a championship game would be more important than, you know, a midseason game. Even though, and you know, to jump into what you were talking about, this makes up for, you know, the Derek Thompson interception in the end zone to close out the game in 2013, and the Laramie Lee fumble in 2014.
I think it was Zach Whitfield.
Zach Whitfield, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing about those two games, like, if you know the history of this game, and I think last week on the podcast, maybe we could have gone through each of the games, but, yeah, no idea. 2013, what is forgotten? We lost that game 21-13, right? And we were driving. Derek Thompson was leading a drive down the field, much like this one, without, like, the crazy miracle 49-yard catch. But we're going down the field. And we had the ball at, like, the goal line or somewhere near it. From my end, I was, like, on the complete opposite end of the stadium. I was, like, in the wing zone, but low. And, you know, he threw an interception. We lost. We would have needed to have scored a touchdown and got the two-point conversion. So, you know, it wasn't just one play. But, you know, it was similar. Like, it could have been a comeback then. And that was a good team. I think this is a good team. I think in that game, 2013, UTSA had played their game. They controlled the ball, and it was getting a little frustrating. Same thing happened here. What a throw. I think I said, what a expletive throw. I'm trying to clean up the podcast, because, you know, we're getting more and more listeners. I know people listening while they're getting ready for church, and I can't be cursing at them. What an effing throw from Mason Fine to Rico Bussey. Rico did a great job. He did a great job and whatever. That was great. But it was not as great as standing in there knowing that this dude's going to blast you. And, by the way, you've been hit all night. What a freaking throw. Yes?
Oh, of course. But I my favorite one was the one to Michael Lawrence.
Yeah, the 49-yard bomb where he escaped pressure, set up shop, chucked it deep. That looked so similar to the one he threw an interception on. It was kind of like revenge for them.
I'll say the exact same thing. And I was waiting for it. I was like, who caught it?
I mean, there is so much that happened on every single one of those plays. I went back and I watched it a bunch of times too. You know, my wife was like, let's play it again. I gotta say, I love and I hate those kinds of games. Like, when you win, you're like, it's so worth it. Being a fan is the greatest thing that ever anybody could ever do. And when you lose, you're like, why do I care so hard? It hurts so much. It's like somebody punched me in the chest. Why would I sign up for punches in the chest? That seems really stupid. Okay, so Jeff Wilson, underrated aspect of his game is his blitz picking up. His pass protection. I think the Gumming Green board had a couple of like threads on him, like, hey, look at this great play, and there's some tweets about it. On that one, on the play, it was an incomplete pass. Like, that's not going to go in like the highlight reels. I've already seen it been cut out a couple times. Mason Fine rolls left. Jeff Wilson picks up Marcus Davenport, you know, the dude, the 6'7", 255-pound monster that was killing Mason Fine all game. He picked up a blitz. He chipped him. It wasn't even a blitz. He just beat his man really easily, and allowed Mason Fine to escape. And he threw a complete pass, but it was an incomplete pass because it went out of bounds. That's underrated because that could have been a sack. That's a sack. It was at 41 seconds, about 20 seconds run off the clock there, and you know North Texas's chance of winning are like less than 1%. I think we were 1.7% when we had the ball at the one. So. Just look for Jeff Wilson and say, hey, man, you're a great runner, but also great job pass protecting. You do a great job doing that.
All phases of the game. Yeah, and that wasn't in his first one either. He had one in the first or second quarter. And, it was the first quarter. And same deal. He just came across the Mason Fine and blocked somebody. I don't know who it was. I was in the wing. And, man.
Was that on the TD? I think it was on the TD, right?
Possibly, yeah. And he did a great job. Even though he was limited in the rush game, he was still active. He's got a lot of jobs to do, and he was still doing his job.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the greatest game. 16 carries, was it 86 yards? No scores. UTSA came in trying to target him, and I think it was just kind of a game plan and circumstance kind of thing. Like North Texas really, really struggled in the second and third quarters. But before we get into the game, I still want to talk about all the good feelings and this perma grin that I have on my face. That was amazing. It was an amazing comeback. 98-yard drive, no timeouts, minute 7 left on the clock. I literally can remember doing that in the backyard with my brothers, or maybe just on like Madden or something like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you dream about that you don't think is possible, you know? Like, wouldn't it be great? We just lead a miracle drive down the field to win the game. That was great. I don't know what else you can say about it, but like, that was amazing. It was great, and it was the best thing ever in the history of ever.
Well, let's take a step back. Yeah. So when we were leading up 22-20,
after we scored and then we stopped them on third down, we got the ball back.
So they come down and marching down the field thinking, and you know, on the Slack channel, I said, they're going to use up 8 minutes on the clock and then they're going to score. And they used up about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they ended up scoring. Then we got the ball back. What was it? Three and out?
It was four and out, technically, because we...
Four
we,
and out. Yeah. Gave the ball back. And, you know, I had the feeling that, you know, this is over. But then I saw them run the ball. And they only got 3 yards. They ran it again. They only got a couple more yards. I was like, uh-oh. UTSA is being UTSA. Playing it too safe. And with a minute, and that gets us to this point where a minute something left. And I was like, oh, we may have a chance. But then the ball gets down at the 2 yard line. I'm like, oh no. When have you heard of a 98 yard drive? Oh wait, last week when North Texas went down 98 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah. You know what? That's, I thought about that too. And like that one started at the 5 and we lost 3 yards. We're like, you know what? We like 98 yards, you know, that's our goal. Little did we know that we really like 98-yard drives.
It's all about practice.
Hey, yeah, so I think that's a big difference. That's really telling is that, I mean, normally you kind of see your team, right? 98 yards, I don't know if this is possible. But, like, if your quarterback's like Aaron Rodgers, you're like, well, Aaron can do this, you know? You can get this. And when your team is North Texas 2017, I think you feel like it is possible. And that's, it's not as weird a feeling anymore this week, you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about it, like, whispering, I think North Texas is a good football team. But now we're saying it, you know? And I think it's the case, yo. North Texas has a good football team. And I don't want to say I was, you know, I thought it was going to be difficult. But I thought that the offense had a chance to do it. The way they did it was especially crazy, you know what I mean? Like the 49-yard chuck it up there catch, which, I mean, it had a lot of luck. I saw somebody saying it was a lot of holding. I didn't really see a whole lot of holding. But you need some luck. I always say this on the show. I think I've literally said it once an episode. I'd rather be lucky than good in a given moment because, you know, luck is usually better. You know what I mean? Like, and I think at that point, there was a little bit of luck there that their DB didn't take the best angle there. I'm sure that guy feels awful. But that, like, everything around that, from the pass protection to the blocking, the rush pickup by Jeff Wilson to the throw to the escape from Mason Fine to the throw from Mason Fine to the catch from Mike Lawrence. Because when a guy jumps in front of you, that's usually when you see the receiver kind of get messed up and then the ball falls. He's like, oh, I just went through my hands. You just messed me up because he jumped right next to it. Everything on that sequence was perfect. Great throw. What a throw there. I think I just tweeted, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Because they're in business at that point. And, yeah, it was great. My wife says, how did we get down the field so fast? Like, I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I know. But how? Like, it was just seven plays. And she was just like, we threw it to the right and then to the left. And then there was an incompletion. And I was like, yep. And then the 49-yard bomb. And then there was another completion. The sixth play was a spike. And then it was a touchdown. It was like, that's it. It said, boom, 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 touchdown, North Texas. That was crazy.
Game, set, match.
So, yeah, I think your point about, like, hey, UTSA is UTSAing themselves, I think it's a good one. Let's talk about the game, man. Let's jump into it. We have some questions. I guess we can answer those right now. Well, Austin says, which remaining game will be harder, at FAU or at La Tech, and which one means more? Aldo, do you have an answer for that?
I mean, La Tech is always going to be a tough game, no matter what. They're good. They're always a good team, no matter how good North Texas is doing. But the way the season has been setting up, both for FAU and North Texas, I think the FAU North Texas matchup has a lot riding on it.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in the next game is the most important game, kind of cliche, I guess, the coach cliche. But, you know, I also think from our perspective when we're looking at it, Louisiana Tech is a little bit more important because it's a division and maybe even mentally speaking, because we play them every season, you know what I mean? So they are ready for us. And we are ready for them in a different way than we'll ever be ready for FAU. You know, it's a team that you don't really see that often. And so, like, it just, who knows what can happen. And, you know, Louisiana Tech, we see them every season. They have all the tape. They know the teams that we played. And so they have a particular insight into those teams and therefore us. I just think they can prepare better for us. And, you know, we're going to see them next year. So.
But I think the narratives that are setting up with each team, with North Texas, you know, being Seth Luttrell's second year, you know, our offense has been so awesome. But FAU has quietly been doing a great job on offense. And then you've got Lane Kiffin leading that team. And I want to – let's beat Bama.
I think next week is going to be hard. I think Greg – he tweeted me and he was, or he tweeted us and he was like, you know, I think next week is going to be really tough. We lost two defensive linemen, right? Sid Moore didn't play this game, and I think that had an effect on our rush game and our ability to get to the quarterback. But Sid Moore did not play, and Bryce English is still not playing. So we're down two defensive linemen, and we're going in to Boca Raton, to Florida, against the league's best rushing attack. And they've been rested, so they were rested resting this week. They've got a chance to recover, and now we have to take on that attack with, you know, down a couple guys. That is going to be tough after a really physical game. You know, that's really physical, really emotional game. That's going to be tough. It's going to be a real test. And, you know, I could see the rush defense maybe not doing so well.
I want it to be a high-scoring game. I want it to be fun. I want it to be a basketball score.
I don't want that. I mean, I want us to score a basketball score, you know, like 71 points. That would be great. All right, yeah, so for real, let's get into the game. North Texas came out 17 plays, 88 yards. You know, the pass game was clicking. They were, I think, in the first quarter, they were 6 of 6. On third down conversions. They were moving the ball well, completion, and I think they used the game plan well. I mentioned that I think that North Texas really game plans well, and they come out of buys pretty well under Seth Littrell, Graham Harrell, and I think they did that this time also. We didn't see any new formations, or at least I didn't, but we did see a couple of QB runs that we haven't seen in a while. Little Mason Fine, you know, quarterback power actions, you know, little sweet things too. We scored a touchdown on one, and he got, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he got about 15 yards on a couple runs early on. Those are great. I like those a lot. I don't know, what could you see anything special from your angle in the wing?
You know, nothing out of the ordinary. We were trying different looks on sweeps. I feel like you were talking about, but wide receiver sweeps. Yeah, that outside runs by Mason Fine were different, trying to confuse the defensive line with a fake handoff to Wilson. But yeah, nothing too crazy. We didn't try anything special. No trickeration either.
Yeah, we one thing I noted in the preview that I wrote up was that UTSA has a really good defensive line, and we saw that, right? Marcus Davenport was just throwing dudes aside and getting into the backfield. He's good. I think their other guy, Banks, is good. They have really good defensive line, and it's hard to move them. They're really good, about as good, maybe even just slightly better, or maybe even slightly worse than Southern Miss, who had a really good defensive line, than Southern Methodist, even Iowa. One thing that we've tried to do is get to the edges, and we have been successful doing that. But UTSA's linebackers and their like safeties, they flow really well to the edges. But Southern Miss said, you know what, we're going to get to the edge. We're going to do wide receiver sweeps. We're going to do edge runs to get around their defensive line. Like, why run at their strength? We'll run around their strength. And North Texas said, hey, you know what, that's a great plan. Let's do that. And they did, and it worked. A lot of sweeps, a lot of even, I mean, that touch pass that they do, you know, where they just kind of toss it to the wide receiver, which is basically a sweep. A lot of that stuff, and it worked beautifully early on. It didn't work so well later, and I think the couple times we attempted a wide receiver sweep, it didn't go anywhere, and then a lot of people were frustrated that we just didn't give it to Jeff Wilson. I would have liked to see more Jeff Wilson, but I'm sure if Jeff Wilson was getting stuck, I would have said, why are we not trying some of the receiver sweeps that were working so well earlier. That I think that's just kind of the nature of the thing. I think we should just credit UTSA's defense for recognizing a vulnerability and then stopping it.
We should have given it more to Jeff Wilson. Yeah, a lot of those sweeps were ending up at 1 yards or 2 yards, I think, to Nick Smith and Jalen Guyton. So that was a little frustrating that we kept trying to do that and it wasn't working anymore. We weren't getting the right blocks, or we just weren't calling the right plays in the right situations. But the most frustrating part was I think we talked about a little bit was having Mason Fine run it when he was injured rather than handing it off to Wilson.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get to that one, and that was pretty frustrating. And I still, like, the drive does not absolve Graham Harrell from a poor play call, I think, at that moment. Because that could have lost the game. If UTSA would have, like, took the game into their hands and won it, then it would have been over. And, you know, there would have been no chance for Harrell to dial up some plays for Mason Fine to become a hero. So North Texas goes down 13 straight points. And then UTSA does a 41-yard pass, a little play-action pass that was actually pretty clever. They scored two touchdowns on these types of things. The first one in the first quarter was a fake reverse. They turn around. It's a wide receiver. I mean, a running back toss. He's wide open, like on a little wheel route. Good play design. Really got North Texas, you know, confused. Nobody saw the running back running free. But outside of that, North Texas did a good job bottling up their run game, and definitely Dalton Sturm. And, you know, North Texas drove again. I think they got to the goal line, into the red zone. They were forced to kick a field goal. One big, big miscue was the bad snap on the extra point. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, which one? but credit to Trevor Moore trying to make something out of nothing on that first miscue. It's way over his head. He chases down the ball. Instead of kicking it like that he did against UAB, he picks it up and just tosses it into the end zone. Fortunately, it just falls down incomplete that time.
That would portend some other bad things. So at that point, North Texas, I think, had like 260 yards of offense, and then UTSA was only giving up 289 for, like, on average through the season. And so North Texas really looked like they were going to just completely be North Texas in this game, completely dominate this one. I wasn't even worried about UTSA's touchdown or even the field goal that they got later on, because I'm like, you know what? We'll be fine, because North Texas is North Texas. We'll just keep scoring lots of points. It's not a big deal, guys. But North Texas drove again. Second bad snap. I think we were driving into the red zone, I think it was. And then bad snap, like totally awful. It went, you know, 5 feet above Mason Fine's head. And I know he's a tiny guy, but, you know, I don't think a 6'7" dude would have caught that. That was just a ridiculous snap. It goes over his head. He turns around and falls on it. And, you know, it's like 3rd and 27. So it's basically punt time. Can't convert. And that was the last good play. That was not even a good play. That was the last good drive they had until, I don't know, something like the fourth quarter, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we were fortunate. I don't know if fortunate is the right word. That we padded up the score so much in the first quarter, 16 or 13-0. What was it?
Yeah,
it was ended up scoring
16. Yeah,
yeah. So 16 points in the first quarter, and then we didn't score again until the fourth. So fortunately, we were explosive enough, but UTSA was able to tighten stuff up later on.
Yeah, I think we can do two things. We can credit ourselves. Hey, great job, us. Great job, self. Good job by the offense. The North Texas team, the North Texas offense especially, won two quarters, the first and the fourth. And I think you can look at the stats. I think we had 200-something yards in the first quarter and then 175 in the fourth. And those two quarters were ours. Second and third quarters were won by UTSA, but I will say that North Texas defense kept it close enough in the third quarter. And we're going to talk about this in a second. Kept it close enough in the third quarter to allow North Texas offense to win the game in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you can see that because, you know, I think a few friends were saying, this defense is terrible. Oh, my God. We're just not good. We're just allowing it UTSA to get anything. But I was trying to maintain reason. Like, hey, guys, look at the stats we've allowed in the third quarter especially. 1 of 5 on third down is UTSA. They've only managed 63 yards, and they only scored 3 points. There was a big conversion on, like, 3rd and 14 or something like that, and I think they got a first down and fourth down. And so you're like, oh, but it's situational defense. By and large, the defense played really well in those situations. And I'm sure if you're a UTSA fan and you're listening to this, you're saying, no, no, it was our offense, too conservative, et cetera, et cetera. Yes and no. Combination thereof. The North Texas defense was not allowing big runs on first down, standard downs. We were really good on first and second down there. I think ultimately UTSA had a pretty decent yards per carry average, like 4.2. But from their hey, turnaround, hand it to our running back and let him do some things perspective, they weren't very good. A lot of the runs, their big runs came from Dalton Sturm scrambling, including like a 19-yard run on 3rd and 17 later on. And that was in the fourth quarter, though.
Yeah, and to add to that, UTSA in the second and third quarter had 4 scoring opportunities. I think I'm counting that right.
Yeah.
And they just came away with 13 points. It was just they scored one touchdown. They missed one field goal, and then they made 2 other field goals. So the defense was doing a good job of keeping them from the end zone. And that was a combination of, you know, the early down work you were talking about from McLean, Kerry Muhammad with stopping them for losses, and then Eric Jenkins on pass plays, getting his hand in there and swiping at the ball. So yeah, the defense did a pretty decent job of keeping the game close, even though the offense was having a hard time scoring, or, you know, scoring any points.
Doing anything, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the defense held them. I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, so North Texas gives up the ball, and I think UTSA has it at the 46. They had great field possession on their missed field goal at the end of the half. I think this came after, no, it was like a short punt. Was it punt? Yeah. It's not even a great punt. So UTSA has it at their 46. I think they go incomplete. And the clock was ticking down. I'm forgetting the details. I'm trying to look it up at the same time. It's not super important. The thing is that North Texas defense did a great job not allowing them to get down the field and get a touchdown or an easier field goal. The guy missed a 46-yard field goal. You know, you can maybe argue, well, they shouldn't let him get that many yards. But, you know, UTSA is not a bad team. You know what I mean? UTSA is trying to make stuff happen. I'm trying to figure out if this is a ridiculous play. I think this one, here it is. I think this is the great pass breakup by Eric Jenkins. Yeah, I think so. Dalton Sturm rolls out, and he throws it to Greg Campbell Jr., and I think Eric Jenkins closed out from like 3 yards behind him, jumps in front of him, forces an incomplete pass. Like, that would have been like down to the 20 or something like that. It would have been, or maybe even 15. It would have been a much easier field goal. And instead, Jared Sackett missed a 46-yard field goal. And, you know, that's a huge play because, you know, ultimately we only won by 3 points, right? And also it made some decisions where we ended up trying to chase points, and I think they were trying to chase some points also. That was a very large and important play there. So mark that down in your large and important playbook. Do you have one of those? We all should have one.
Yeah, writing it down right now.
Scribble, scribble, scribble. All right, so yeah, second and third quarter, UTSA adjusted, and they said, you know what, let's move our unstoppable force in Marcus Davenport. Let's move him around a little bit. Let's not let North Texas know where he's coming from and put a guy in there to chip him or anything like that. And they were bringing lots and lots of pressure. And Graham Harrell and the offensive line and everybody on the offense working together could not stop it enough. There was like 3 sacks. I think the 3 sacks came in that time period. Even then, North Texas had 5 possessions in the first half. 3 of them were scoring possessions. 1 of them was stalled by a mistake, that 18-yard loss in the snap. And 1 was just a bad possession. 2 sacks. It was like sack and then sack. That happens. But the worst outcome of that last possession was that Mason Fine got a little injured. And that's the injury you're talking about. He came up limping. I think it was his ankle. Bad stuff. That's not what you want. Meanwhile, UTSA does a pretty good drive. I think they're one of the best drives of the game. Was it? I'm trying to figure out how long it was. Their touchdown where it looked like their quarterback Dalton Sturm nearly died, basically. That was a terrible play. Yeah, that one was 11 plays, 87 yards, 7-minute drive. You know, very reminiscent of the UAB drive to start the game and the UAB drive to end the game, where they just do what they want. They complete some big third down plays. I think they had two big third down plays. 3rd and 8, Dalton Sturm ran for 14. 3rd and 6, just 3rd and 8.
Was it a touchdown?
14. Yeah, that was a touchdown. That was huge for them, and that was a concern. We knew that was going to be the case. Mobile quarterbacks are dangerous. If you just look all across college football, you can see that. I think North Texas defended UTSA well. We only allowed 389 yards of offense. They've been averaging 400+. The yards per play wasn't great, but you know, just like they held them to 4.2 yards rushing, and they were averaging something like 5 or 6 or something like that. And then also they're averaging 35 a game. We held them to 26. They only had really like two really good drives. The 9-play 87-yard touchdown drive and the 11-play one I was talking about. And the other ones, they had some good play designs. I mean, I don't know. I was when we were talking before the season, hey, how do we want this defense to play? This is the kind of defense that we were thinking about. Bend but don't break. Allow some points, but nothing major, you know, and give them a hard time.
And help the offense out. You know, throughout the season, the offense has been helping out the defense many times, but sometimes the, you know, either the play calling or just miscues, this and that has been occurring with the offense, and the defense has been stepping up. That's why we're 4-2.
Yeah, I made a note that before the game when I was doing a preview and we were talking about it, that I felt like our defense, especially our pass defense, was much improved. And, I mean, you look at last week, right, that Southern Miss is still pretty terrible defending the pass because they allowed 367 to us, 366 to us, 367 to UTSA. And just guys are just wide open in the secondary. We didn't allow Dalton Sturm, who can throw for 300 yards, obviously, if you look at the last game. He can do that. We didn't allow him to do that. We cleaned up the mistakes that we made against UAB. And, you know, like if you look at Southern Miss against us, it was just mostly toss it up there and let a guy make a play or give it to Ito Smith. And this one, it was some good play design. And, you know, you got to tip your hat to him. Those two plays where they got the running back out in space, you know, that is obviously unacceptable if you're Troy Reffitt, but it was not the same mistakes that we've been seeing. So from our perspective, fans sitting here on the couch with a beer, we can't really get as angry at that. We can't, oh, same old North Texas just allowing another guy to run free in the secondary, because it was a good play design. Eric Jenkins played really well. Keemon Hall, really well. Kyrie Muhammad played really well. Keyshawn McClain played really well. Run stopping, you know, breaking up passes, covering guys in the secondary. Good effort all the way around by the defense, especially the defensive line. They were so close to getting to Dalton Sturm, and I really thought they should have got a couple more sacks, but they hit him a couple times as he was throwing. There were some unlucky plays, and I think you said, oh, that's that eye discipline there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, and credit to the defense again. This was the lowest yardage output allowed since the Lamar game. I mean, it's not by much, but it was 389 yards. All the rest of them have been 395, 493, 435, 415. So they've allowed a lot of yards, and this one was when it came time to you know, put your money where your mouth is as the defense. They did a good job.
So I think ultimately when you look at the stats, you do some box scoring, you're like, what, 2 40-yard touchdown plays? Oh, same old North Texas. No, those are different. And also Dalton Sturm only threw for 215 yards. Like, so that 80 yards that he got in those two plays were the bulk of his passing.
They were just efficient.
Yeah, they ran for more yards than we probably wanted and a better average, you know, 174 yards, but... Again, we were missing Sid Moore there. I think that was a very big loss for North Texas and changed some things. I think he's been playing really well, getting to the quarterback and, you know, breaking passes. But Rod Young made a huge tackle. Fourth quarter, third and three, and UTSA doesn't get anywhere because Roderick Young gets into the backfield, tackles Jalen Rhodes, drops him. That brings up the fourth and three, and UTSA decides to give up and punt. Maybe they were tired of being tackled. Maybe they're like, no, this sucks, too much. This sucks, bro. I didn't know you were going to play so hard.
So have we allowed a 100-yard rusher yet?
No 100-yard rusher last night. Jalen Rhodes went 19 carries for 71 yards. That was the leading rusher. Tyrell Clay, 54 yards. Dalton Sturm for 38 yards. So no 100-yard rusher.
That's pretty good on the season.
Yeah. No one guy has been able to tear us up. Although, there's a very big asterisk. Yeah, because I think Iowa's dude would have got a lot of yards on us.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's got to be something for the media, right? Hey, guys, did you know that North Texas is not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season? Pretty amazing. All right, so defense played really well. And that's how I'm going to think about this game, is that in the second and third quarters, North Texas went to a lull offensively. And I don't think anybody is going to be happy about that. When they're talking about getting a week better, we still haven't seen the offense play a complete game, right? Against Southern Miss, I think Seth Luttrell said, yeah, we really got to see play a complete game. We left some points on the field, about 17 points. And this one, there was at least one point, the extra point, and then there was at least another one when they were driving late in the high snap. Those are left on the field. And then just some terrible offense in the second and third quarters besides that. Third quarter especially. 19 yards of offense in the third quarter on 11 plays. It was very, very bad.
Ouch. Yeah, those were some big sacks.
Yeah, I mean, so Mason Fine was getting sacked, and he was getting hit. He was getting lit up. That was a bad thing. We were all thinking, I don't know if we want Mason Fine to get hit like this.
And you can tell he was getting frustrated with the officials not calling some of those late hits.
Yeah, there was some of that, and I think like late hits out of bounds.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, there was at least three just for Jalen Guyton. One in the first quarter, one in the second quarter, and I think one in the third or fourth. They finally called one on Darden's return in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was big. I think a lot of people were like, "Oh, finally! Oh my God, about time!" I don't know why it just popped into my brain right now, but a very big play, very big and important play was Keyshawn McClain, special team tackle. He flew down the field and released, I forget their punt returner's name, but that could have been a game-changing moment. I think it was Brady Jones, looks like. Just random plays are popping into my head. Just great plays that meant a whole lot at the time. I mean, again, second, Ito Smith rushed for 102, says Austin Rogers. Austin Rogers is Lane Kiffin's best friend, Twitter friend. They tweet at each other all the time.
The dispenser of rat poison, sorry.
Yeah. I'm Austin Rogers, rat poison extraordinaire. Did you know that North Texas is leading the conference in pass yards? I don't know if that's how Austin talks, but in my brain right now, that's how he talks. What was I saying? That was a total team effort, and I think it's important to remember that kind of stuff because this obviously will be remembered for the drive, and it's really easy to forget all the contributions of everybody throughout the season. And so later on, when maybe they don't make a great play, you're like, what does that guy even do out there, man? Has he ever made a good play? Yes. In this game, he made a great tackle. Keyshawn McClain, who hasn't been as highlighted as he was last year, has still played well. I mean, he hasn't done anything bad. He's not missing assignments. They're just not really going towards him. They're like, let's target this other guy, Kyrie Muhammad. Let's not go over here because that guy's pretty good. And but he's been flying in, making some tackles. He made a huge tackle for loss early in the game. I think that forced the field goal or at least put him in third down position. And then he made a special teams tackle that was very huge. All those kinds of tackles that limit yards, that limit field position at a time when the offense is struggling are even more magnified. And really good stuff from them, from those guys there. Yeah. What are you thinking about?
I mean, I'm just excited. Yeah, I was going through the conference stats, looking at points per game, total offense, total defense, things like that. And, you know, obviously North Texas has been leading on offense on a lot of categories, scoring, offensive output, this and that. And UTSA has been one of the best defenses there, while North Texas has been mostly just middling. Pretty similar stats to Florida Atlantic. And so it felt good to be able to go up against a good defensive team. A lot of people called it a boxing match, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and come out with a win. You know, this North Texas team is starting to grow up, even though they're mostly freshmen, sophomores on the team. They've worked through a lot of adversity just in this season alone. And I think that'll help, you know, season them over the next few years.
Yeah, those are great points. You look at this team, and you can see how well they've played. And then if you look at the room to improve, there's a lot there, right? I mean, last night, right? Again, a lot of points left on the table. The bad extra point. North Texas has not played a complete game, and that's crazy. Not a complete game, and yet they're leading the conference in points per game, and the defense is improving. Those are great signs as the team progresses through, and they play a big FAU game next week. They're not completely healthy, although they've been very healthy, which is great. You know, there are worse situations, and North Texas has been in those situations. But yeah, and then everybody's young. I think someone was like, was it Billy, friend of the show? Billy was like, freshmen or sophomores are like Guyton, Fine, Darden, Nick Smith, and Kelvin Smith. Like, things are looking pretty great for the future here at North Texas, considering the situation that we have. The roster is really young, and everybody's playing really well. That's super exciting, man. Not only for next year, but even for this year. There's like so much to play for. Teams 4-2, 3-0 in conference. There's a very real shot at a conference championship this year in a down Conference USA.
Yeah, and on top of everything, our roster is really thin too. We're still very short on scholarship players, and so hopefully it'll be more than just a couple seasons. It'll take longer to fill out that roster. But so far, we're getting in quality players that can go up against, you know, in a pinch. A lot of these players were gotten in a pinch. No. Latrell's first season, he only had one guy on the team, or one commit. And in a month, he had to put together a class. A lot of those are going to be contributing. And in the second class, a lot of those are contributing as well, just because of a lot of attrition and the shortage of players on the roster itself. So it's good to see that it's paying off. Even though his recruiting looked, or the staff's recruiting looked like it wasn't bringing in quality players on paper, either he's finding gems, or the scheme is allowing these Jimmies and Joes to exceed expectations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we've been talking about. Like, when the classes came in and they're like middle of the pack at best, and, you know, Seth Luttrell says, yeah, well, we don't worry about stars. And that sounds, you know, it sounds like the thing you would say when you don't have a very highly rated class. Because I'm sure if, you know, it was a bunch of five stars, he wouldn't say, we don't worry about stars. He wouldn't say that. So, you know, we were like, okay, the only thing we can do is wait and see. Do those guys go out and perform? And so far they have. So early returns, looking good. Looking real good. Let's talk about that drive again. The drive before the drive. Two drives before. North Texas got unstuck late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter. Started putting things together. And by that I mean throwing the ball to Jalen Guyton. And not getting too cute. I think Jalen Guyton had like three catches on that drive, two of which are like short or intermediate ones, like 8-yard passes, and a couple were for first downs on third downs. Some of the first conversions we had since their first quarter. We went 6-for-6, then 0-of-5. and before, you know, converting down the stretch. Jalen Guyton is really good. And I saw Greg had said after the Heart of Dallas Bowl, I did the big the pass game in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Look at all these gifts. And, you know, Greg commented on that post. I think Jalen Guyton is going to be really good because he's going to be – he has top-end speed. He's going to be the number one receiver. He's going to take the top off these guys, really open it up for everything, everybody else. And that has been the case. I mean, Mason Fiennes was great, right? 350 yards passing, 354 yards passing, sorry. And Jalen Guyton has been, well, he had 182 of those. The guy's been incredible. Ridiculous.
He's been really good. And his route running is awesome. He's fast. He's got hands. So he's a complete package. And he's a smart guy, a smart football player.
Yeah, I mean, and he can run for days. You know, he was... In the little thing afterwards, a little interview, he was saying, yeah, I can play another one. I'm going to go put in work. Yeah, I mean, the guy is in incredible shape, which is great. I think they want all the receivers to be able to run all day, you know, sprint 77 yards and then come back and do it again. But, yeah, I mean, so first quarter, he was good. Fourth quarter, he was good. And that's what you want. You don't want guys to disappear. That 77-yard touchdown, he had like 15 yards on that dude. I mean... He was gone.
Yeah, frequently he was beating his guy down the sideline. And I think I tweeted about it in the first pass, in the first quarter. It was a little short, and Guyton wasn't able to get to it. But then finally he broke through. The pass was on target, and he just smoked him again. He just said, oh, you know what, I'm just going to smoke you again, and maybe the pass will get to me this time. And he did it.
Yeah,
it's so awesome.
Yeah, coming into the last two games, Southern Miss, UTSA, they have faced, at the time, two of the best pass defense at the time, statistically speaking. And, you know, he smoked them both. Was it 211 yards against Southern Miss, 182 against UTSA? You know, like, early in the season, even against SMU, it was more like one or two plays. Like, it was like, okay, here we go, get it to Jalen Guyton for the one play that he's going to get all game. We can see the good there, but it was not, I guess, like the chemistry wasn't there, or like I don't know what it was. But after the UAB game, they have really just hit on that every time. And I think every defensive coordinator in the league right now is like looking at their cornerbacks and trying to figure out which one of those guys can run with Jalen Guyton. And I don't think there's anybody really right now that can do that. And, that's great. It's, you know.
Yeah, and I had some validation on my comments about, you know, if you take one facet of the North Texas offense out, you get the other facet. And early on in the game, first drive of the game is UTSA was trying to take out the long game. And so North Texas just started picking them apart underneath, you know, attacking the edges with the run game. I think it was passing to Lawrence over the middle. And so we're moving the ball to get to the score. And once they started tightening up, that's when Jalen Guyton broke free. on the drive, at least the last couple of drives in the fourth quarter, they started to give a lot of cushion to Jalen Guyton. And so and they were shading a safety over Guyton as well. And that opened things up for Bussey. You know, he had zero catches up until that last drive of the game, and he had two catches for, you know, doesn't matter how many yards, but it was a first down conversion and it was a touchdown to win the game. So one, kudos for the rest of the team to step up when it was necessary. And
yeah,
also
stay ready. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also kudos to the scheme to allow for other players to be, allow Guyton to be shut down and then also allow other guys to be open. You put two guys on Guyton. Well, that's going to leave somebody else open. And it was easily shown on that last drive.
Yeah, I think they did a great job of like, you know, keeping everybody ready. That's a huge thing. I think there's a tendency for some teams if they get away from a guy and then like now he sucks. Like if you don't throw him the ball two times in the first quarter, well, he's gonna drop in the fourth, which is awful. That's an awful situation to be in for everybody. Rico Bussey did a great job. staying ready. I think he had caught more passes, but they were out of bounds. More passes.
Oh, yeah. He got pushed out of bounds, too. Yeah. Man, yeah. Should have been a flag on that. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, Jalen Guyton is really good, and he really makes this offense go. It's incredible what happens when you have a deep threat. You take the top off, and all of a sudden, everything underneath is wide open and free. And that was the case. And then when you have a guy like a home run hitter like Jeff Wilson, you know, you can see why we lead the conference in yards and why we lead the conference in touchdowns. It's really hard to stop North Texas. And our quarterback is really good. He's really tough. Like, all the recipes for stopping an offense like that. Well, you know what? We'll take out their deep threat. Now they won't be able to execute. No, we still can do that. Okay, we'll shut down their run game. Now they won't be able to throw. Nope, we can still do that. Okay, we're going to hit the hell out of their quarterback. I almost cursed there. We're going to hit their quarterback and as hard as we can with their biggest, strongest, and fastest dudes every play. And that will take them out their game. No, it didn't. He still threw 2 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter.
While getting hit.
Yeah. I mean, so then, you know, so you say, okay, well, what is there to do then? What do we do? I mean, obviously North Texas doesn't want Mason Fine to take these kinds of hits long term, but I think UTSA was uniquely positioned to do that to him. I mean, they have, not many teams have a 6'7", 255 guy that probably is going to the NFL or a really good linebacking core like they do and a really good line like that. That said, I think North Texas really has to do a better job of stopping that kind of thing. And I think late they try to sneak in Kelvin Smith, and overcorrected. Now I'm like, every time I want to see Smith, I do. They put Kelvin Smith in the game to chip their big dude, Davenport, and it worked okay. Look, North Texas, they adjusted in the game, and they scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. The TD to Guyton was very huge. It was a 32-yard touchdown. It capped a 10-play, 82-yard drive that took up 4 minutes, 25 seconds. That was huge for the defense because they, you know, we were asking a lot of the defense. And I think somebody was in the Slack channel saying, yeah, man, a lot of hands on hips. I'm like, yeah, it's fourth quarter, and they've been stopping the same run play, this ISO or this, you know, these very, very difficult run it down your throat run plays to stop. And they were stopping it. They were stopping it. They were stopping it. And, you know, to ask them to stop them yet again was a tall task. And, you know, they roasted a challenge, and that was great.
Yeah, one of the biggest frustrations I had with the defense, and I mentioned it in the Slack, is when they were tackling, they were trying to grab the ball instead of wrapping up their guy, and they were trying to do too much. It's the same thing we've heard every game, is they're trying to do too much, and instead of stopping the guy for a short gain, they let the guy go because they're just grabbing, and they end up going for several more yards.
Yeah, I saw that happen a couple times. I don't know how they clean that up. I mean, some things are going to just kind of stay with the team. You're like, I don't know, this collection of dudes is just going to play like this until they graduate, until we get another collection of dudes. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm fatalistic there. Friend of the show and was it publisher of ntsportsstats.com says, don't forget to mention that Mason Fine moved into the number 8 spot for all-time passing yards last night. Yeah, I saw a couple of these. I got to update my Mason Fine stat watch. The dude is balling out, and I gotta add Jalen Guyton to that thing because you know, Guyton was like on a lower pace. It didn't look like he was gonna hit a whole lot of yards, but he's like, nah, let me just catch all the passes and grab all the yards now. Back to back games over 180 yards receiving, back to back multiple touchdown games. The dude is really, really good.
So Mason Fine nationally is 13th. For yards per game, I'm sorting through this as we speak. For passing touchdowns, he is 20th. I mean, he's doing really well this season. It's a great season for North Texas. His yards per pass, which I've never seen a North Texas quarterback was as many yards per attempt. Sorry, is 9.1. I think the best that Derek Thompson had was 7.4, which is respectable, but man, he is on fire.
Yeah, you want usually 8 to 9, you know, like the 7, 8, 9. Those are good, increasingly so, obviously. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Guyton is 11th nationally receiving yards per game, 104 receiving yards per game.
Yeah, I want to say our last 1,000-yard receiver was what? Who?
Was it Chancellor, Casey Fitzgerald? I'm just throwing
I'm thinking
names
it might
out.
Have been Casey Fitzgerald, because I don't think Breland Chancellor ever got 1,000 yards receiving. I think he was like, I don't know. I'm going to leave that to the internet to answer for me right now, because I don't want to look at it, Google it while we have about maybe 5-10 minutes left in the show. Figure it out later, do a blog post about it. Yeah, dude, all right, so like, what does this all mean? What does this miracle, you know, touchdown winning thing means? Well, it means everything it meant last week. I still think North Texas was the better team, and I think that was kind of proven there. Like, their offense was just capable of it. Four drives where, you know, they scored, they just moved the ball really well. A handful of drives in between where they didn't, but they also hurt themselves. Credit UTSA for improving over the last week. I thought they were going to give a great effort, considering that they were pretty much embarrassed at home, coming off a bye, a lot of hype, and then they allowed Southern Miss to just run up and down the field on them, averaging, like what I said, 9 yards per play. So, you know, in this one, they were more concerned. Like, they were ready for us. And like I said, we took UTSA's best shot. They played a really good defensive game, and still North Texas put up 441 yards against them, you know? And still Mason Fine threw for 354 and 3 touchdowns. And even before that, the, you know, before the final drive, the 98 yards where, you know, he added, I won't say he padded his stats, but he had 250 and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. It's pretty great. The run game wasn't as good as it has been in the past, but, you know, that happens, right? Sometimes the run game carries you. Sometimes the pass game carries you. It's a team game. North Texas has yet to play a complete game, and they still won 4 games. So that's pretty good. Yeah, finally, I was just going to say the defense. Again, that was a great effort. The UTSA is a good to okay offense. Yeah, I mean, they stick to their game plan, and they run their stuff. They're like, run, run, run. We're going to do our thing. They're very much like UAB in that respect. And, hey, by the way, UAB is, what, 3-1 in conference also? 2-1 in conference, whatever it is? You know, like, that's a good team. And, you know, if you get stuck in their trap and you start playing their game, if you let them get first downs, running the ball, next thing you know, you look up and 7 minutes went off the clock. And, you know, you're like, our offense has to score. And that's why it was going to be tough. Right? We talked about that against UAB. It was kind of the same thing. If we let UAB play their game, North Texas is going to kind of struggle. And in that game, UAB had that plus big plays. And this one, UTSA had fewer big plays. But, you know, defense is improving. Good, solid defense plus a great offense equals wins. I like that combination. If we can make the defense even better, then we become even better. And if the offense can play 4 quarters and not just 2.5 or just 3.5, you know, even better, even more wins.
So since 2008, or the last receiver to have 1,000 yards was Casey Fitzgerald in the 2008 season. Since 2008, because that's all I got here on CFB stats.
Yeah.
In terms of yards per play, North Texas, the 2017 team has the highest in the last 10 seasons or so at 6.95, which is awesome. It blows out the 2013 season out of the water, which is the next one. In terms of defense, 5.39 yards per play, and the only one better is 2013 at 5.14 yards per play. So defensively, we're not at the level at...
That's 2013?
As 2013, you know, we weren't as disruptive in terms of turnovers, but we are holding opponents to pretty low outputs.
Yeah. In an era where offense is more intense, I think that's another key. Like, offenses are better now. That 2013 team was the defense plus a solid offense. It was like the reverse. Like, hey, this is a good to great defense. and a really solid offense. Like, if the offense can just not mess it up, score touchdowns when they can, hey, the defense is going to win this game for us. You know, like, the defense was scoring touchdowns that year. This year, obviously, like, our best group is the offense, which is crazy because coming in, we thought it was still going to be the other way. And the defense is kind of, they're playing at a middle level. But again, I think the defense is going to improve, and they have been improving just slowly over time. If they can stay healthy, I see good things. I see them, you know, playing better. Next week, very huge, very large, very important game against Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton. FAU was on a bye week. Just so much to play for. I mentioned last week, you know what? This is how it should be when you think about it. You know, much was made of the importance of this game. Is this the biggest game in Apogee's history? No, it wasn't. Not to me. The biggest game was the Rice game, Halloween game, because that was a chance to clinch bowl eligibility for the first time in about a decade. You know, in front of the home fans on Fox Sports. I've been saying ESPN all week, but it was Fox Sports. This was a big game. In terms of, you know, it doesn't matter what happened last time. It matters this season. This is the biggest game of the season. And I think next week is bigger because of the implications thereof. But, you know, I will accept the answer. Hey, La Tech is more important because that one is also a division game. What about you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like I said before, I think the FAU's game is going to be important just to showcase who's in charge in terms of offense. Show up a big name coach like Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's the next game. But historically, La Tech has been a good team, both in the conference and playing, you know, out of conference teams. They've always had good teams that are hard to beat, especially during our time in Conference USA. So being able to come in and beat La Tech will be a big show of force there in the division.
Yeah, especially because we,
right. And especially like we've been saying, we're going to have this team for several more years. So if we show something this year, then things look good for us in the future.
What did I want to say? I wanted to mention, something about, the schedule. I think did I just forget what I was going to say? Just quickly through the conference, Florida International beat Tulane, that was very good. Florida International is now 4-2, 2-0 at home. I don't know what to make of FIU. Southern Miss dominated UTEP, but only won 24-0. UTEP is weird now. I don't know what to expect on them. They're coming up on our schedule. I think Keon Howard was turning the ball over a little bit more, but Southern Miss was never in danger in that game. UAB is a miracle win. They are now 4-2 and 2-1 in conference. We are 3-0 in conference. If we were to slip up, you know, against any of these teams, we have the tiebreaker against UAB and Southern Miss. Southern Miss is now 2-1 in conference. But, you know, like, I forget how the tiebreakers work, but I think it's like head-to-head or, you know, percentage record. But we're in pretty good spot there. But obviously we want to just win out. That'd be great. Western Kentucky beat Charlotte, a terrible Charlotte team. Western Kentucky won 45-0. They looked much more like themselves, although that probably had more to do with Charlotte. That said, Mike White had nearly 400 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. And then Marshall just took apart ODU. ODU's 2-4, 0-2 in the conference. Marshall is 5-1, 2-0 in the conference. I think Marshall's better than us just because I ranked them number one in the power rankings last week. Marshall is, their defense is really good. And I know ODU doesn't really have much of an offense to speak of, but I think Marshall's the first team to not allow a touchdown in two Conference USA games, two of them. And I know they played Charlotte and ODU, and you're like, well, what does that mean? But their defense is still good. And I don't know. I'm glad we don't have to play them. At least not yet. There you go. There's a look around the conference.
And I think
what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Marshall is better team than FAU, I think. But they'll still be a good test for Marshall.
Yeah. we're gonna get an idea of what's gonna happen there. Coming up now, it gets to conference play. It's crazy when the conference is so wide open now. Like last year was pretty much you're like, okay, Western Kentucky, maybe they stumble. We'll see what happens in the West. You know, it was a little bit more of a question, but it was basically a race between La Tech and Southern Miss. This season, anything can happen, because I still think, even though I'm a North Texas homer, I still think you can make the argument that, you know, Louisiana Tech is going to figure things out and, you know, win the conference, win the division. I think that's a very real possibility. I still think they're a good team. I think UAB is a very good team. And if certain losses fall North Texas' way, UAB might sneak into the conference championship game, because they play good football. They have a good philosophy. They say, hey, we're going to run the ball, and if we need to, we can throw the ball. Early to Wilson is still very dangerous, and their defense is good enough to make plays.
Well, and they play Charlotte next week, so we have to win.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's the thing about UAB. If you want to say, how good are they, you know? Well, if you say North Texas is the best team in the division, well, UAB came to Denton and nearly pulled off a win, right? They scored.
Yeah. And they get to play Charlotte. We don't get to play Charlotte.
That's another thing, yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah, well, we get to play Rice, though. That's
true. And UTEP.
Yeah, just recap of our schedule. Next week at FAU, 4 p.m., says the ESPN schedule right now. I don't know if that's going to be on TV. ODU after that at home. That game should be more well-attended. I want to talk a little bit about attendance before we get out of here. We don't have too much time. Louisiana Tech afterwards. Very big game on November 4th. Home against UTEP, November 11th. Is that? That's Veterans Day. Week after, a big game against Army. And then finally we close out with Rice on November 25th. 23,000 people at the stadium in the biggest game at Apogee. It's a very big game. It was marketed well. I thought everybody involved did a great job getting people out there, doing their best to encourage people to get there. But here's the thing. Texas OU weekend is the biggest weekend in college football in Texas and has been for 100 years. And it is right in the backyard, you know? People go to that. They go to the state fair. It's what happens. That's a huge cultural shift to try to make with, hey, we beat Southern Miss, and hey, let's check out UTSA. That I get, and I still appreciate it. And, you know, if I lived in DFW and I had the choice to go, you know, left or right, I would pick our side. You know what I mean? Obviously. But for the casuals and other people, it makes sense. And it's going to be a long time before they make that choice, the Denton choice, easier. And, you know, but good job by everybody. Go ahead.
I think 23,000 is a significant number. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the last time we had 23,000 was probably against SMU in our home opener last season.
Yeah.
And, you know, that time and last night the stadium was just rocking.
Yeah, that was the other point I was gonna make there, is that at least one point, I forget which series combination it was, but they caused a false start. They caused problems for UTSA there. Hey, home field advantage. And apparently the students were like yelling, you know, they caused a delay and a false start. And that's home field advantage, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we want to play at Apogee. That's why we want people out there. And I expect that the next home game, especially if there's some wins, especially if we beat FAU at FAU, I expect that we'll see some more people for ODU. And, you know, just to see North Texas, we're not going to need to rely on traveling fans. From what I saw on the broadcast, there was not a whole lot of UTSA fans. Like, nothing more than, I think the biggest contingent I've ever seen was Houston, because those people were in there and they were shouting, "Whose house? Kook's house?" And I wanted to punch them all in the face. Those people were there. And then the UTEP people, they brought a lot of folks.
2013, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think UTSA's brought that many people, as many people as UTEP brought. And I was DMing with Jared, the guy that does Alamo Dome Audible and whatever. I was, you know, like, great. Man, it was a great game. But also I was saying, talking about how hard it is to get people there. And he says, yeah, he even knows some UTSA alums that chose to go to the Red River Shootout instead of, you know, going to see their team in Denton. That's what happens, man. Like, this is that's the thing. We're going up against a monster at that point. And yes, 23,000, given the circumstances, is a very great turnout. That was good. It was good to see that there. It was good to hear them. I heard a lot of North Texas. It's good to just see so much excitement about the program. I casually mentioned to people at the Conference USA Media Days, I was like, yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like, hey, if the team does really well, then people care about meangreennation.com, right? When the team doesn't do well, it's like me and like maybe family member reading it because I sent him a link. So, you know, like it's cool. And I can tell that there's excitement just because people are just like going meangreennation.com where people are searching, hey, North Texas football, are they good? They good? It's fun. College football can be fun. And you have to say it that way to North Texas fans because I don't know if we know that.
it's cyclical.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? And I hope, I mean, you look at Western Kentucky right now, right? They're having a down year, but they're still winning games. I'd really like to have a down year where we're like, oh, we actually might not compete for the conference championship this year. Can you believe that? You
know, for the third year in a row.
Yeah. Like, that's a great place to be. And so with that, we'll leave you, ladies and gentlemen, to enjoy your Sunday, to wear your green. Hopefully you guys brush your teeth and everything because you're going to have this big grin on your face this whole time. And so it's going to be hard to, you know, check the mirror, make sure if you have anything in your teeth, get it out because they're going to see it because you're smiling all day. Do you have anything to say, Aldo?
No. it's all emotional and I got all the feels. It's no words. It's just it feels good.
That was the greatest drive I've seen North Texas score on ever. That was it.
And it got a lot of play on the Twitters. ESPN, Texas football, Conference USA. I mean, it was fantastic to be able to, I mean, UTSA, and I know I've said dialed it in the past, but UTSA, melded in is not a good word. They won. They won in their last drive. They're like, we won this game, whatever. And we came back and told them, no you didn't.
Yeah. I think people were like, oh yeah, the broadcast was giving out the player of the game award to Marcus Davenport. And you know, they're kind of wrapping it up. Hey, well, thanks everybody for tuning in. You know, and like the game wasn't over. By the way, Austin says North Texas rates 20th in the nation in offensive efficiency, which is the third best by G5, only behind SMU and UCF. Again, that SMU loss is looking better and better every day, and that close game against UAB is looking better and better every day. North Texas may be a better team than we thought they were at the time. I don't know what to say other than that. I think I want to maybe squeeze in another podcast this week so we can actually talk about FAU, and maybe I'll get one of the guys from FAU All Access, and you know, the three of us can talk about it. But we'll see how that works out schedule-wise, because, ladies and gentlemen, we are working peoples out here, productive members of society, you know, family men out here, so it's hard to find time. That's what it is.
You got to eat some more pancakes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. We had, I don't know, 10, 11, 16, it kind of fluctuated, people listening at any given time. You know, thanks Austin. Special shout out to Austin for being the diehard that he is. I know, I mean, you crazy people listening to us talk on the internet about our favorite team. You're only slightly less crazy than we are for talking on the internet about our favorite team ever, and we do appreciate it. Makes us not feel alone in the world. I feel good. I feel good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Because now I'm singing on the internet, which is, of course, a no-no. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.